The Dialogue with Clement Manyathela.
It's not just another roundtable discussion.
Let's walk the talk on 702.
What are the rules of war? What are the guiding rules of war? That's what I want us to talk about on our Thursday feature, on our Thursday dialogue feature this morning. And I don't even want to ask whether the rules of law have been respected in the war in the Middle East, because you and I know the answer to that. There have been concerns and, in fact, outrage following the Israeli airstrikes that killed 7 aid workers. These are aid workers from the World Central Kitchen Charity. They were delivering food to starving civilians in Gaza, and they were bombed. Even though the Israeli Defense Force was aware of what they were doing, they had shared their logistics plans. They'd indicated to them, this is where we're going to be, this is where we're going to be driving, this is what we're going to be delivering. But they were bombed. Now there's outrage. The US President Joe Biden said he's outraged and heartbroken by the killing of these innocent aid workers. But it's important for you to note that as outraged as Joe Biden is, he still authorized the transfer of billions of dollars in bombs and fighter jets to Israel just a couple of days ago. The Israeli Prime Minister has also responded, Benjamin Netanyahu. He's acknowledged Israel's responsibility for this attack, describing it as unintended and tragic. He said the Israel Defense Force had unintentionally hit innocent civilians. Surprise, surprise. I mean, out of the over, what, is it 38,000 or 39,000 now? People that have died in Gaza. How many of those are Hamas fighters that Israel is trying to target? So this is not the first time that innocent civilians are being caught in the crossfire and are being killed here. Now it's innocent civilians who are trying to provide aid in Gaza. So the Israeli Prime Minister said, we're going to do everything possible so that this thing does not happen again. But he also said, well, this is also war. These things happen. So what are the rules of war? What can you do? What can't you do? There are more than 200 aid workers so far that have been killed in this war since it began on October 7. I was looking at the numbers that the Committee to Protect Journalists have provided. From their preliminary investigations, at least 95 journalists and media workers have been killed. 95 journalists and media workers. Over 200 aid workers. These are not Hamas fighters. And just remember, these numbers I'm mentioning, there's 32,900 people that have died, that have been killed in Gaza since the war began, according to Gaza's health ministry. And it follows the killing of the 1,200 people in Israel on October 7, according to the Israeli government. And 240 Israelis were kidnapped. Israel said more than 100 hostages still remain in Gaza. So let's have a conversation this morning about the rules of war. They're clearly not being respected. What are they? And what would be or are supposed to be the consequences when they're not respected? Professor Andre Thomashausen is a professor emeritus of international law at UNISA, joining us for this chat. Prof, thank you for making time for us. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Clement. Good morning, listeners.
And we also have Thembisa Fakude, who is a senior research fellow and director at Africa-Asia Dialogues. Thembisa, welcome back to the show. Thanks for making time.
Thanks for having me.
Prof, let's start by outlining what the rules of war are. What are countries allowed to do? What are they not allowed to do, even when they're engaging in war?
Well, Clement, for starters, we have to remember there is no international lawmaker. There's no parliament. There's no gazette that would publish laws that can be easily enforced by a ready police force. International law, the body of international law, essentially is constituted by state practice, the things that states do, states abide by. And rules of engagement in war are very old. They go back to the 5th century when there were rules, for instance, that the winner can pillage, can take everything that the winner finds in a territory occupied. That rule was abolished by the first big written body of laws of war, the Hague Conventions before World War I. The Hague Conventions did not manage the terrible conflicts in World War I and World War II. So after World War II in 1949, we get the Geneva Convention. And the fourth convention has a very clear and simply understood basic ruling in Article 3, that persons taking no active part in hostilities shall not be treated inhumanly, shall not be murdered, shall not be attacked. And in particular, Article 3 forbids violence to life and person, murder of all kinds, mutilation, cruel treatment, torture, taking of hostages, outrages upon personal dignity. So those are war crimes. And undisputedly, nations have the right to defend themselves with force against such acts of aggression. And the problem here is that Hamas hasn't stopped. Every day they're still firing missiles. By now they've fired about 40,000 missiles into purely civilian targets in Israel. And of course they're continuing to hold on to the hostages. So in law, Israel continues to be entitled to defend itself with force, subject to the principle of proportionality.
Tembisa, that system of proportionality, how do we assess there? What is proportional? Because there may be a standard that is acceptable in terms of what proportion is, but Israel may have its own understanding as well of what proportion is. And also, the Israeli Prime Minister said, well, this happens in war after this recent incident. How common are these unintentional targets in war?
Well, they are common, but I would have expected the professor, if he does live in the same world like all of us, observing the atrocities and the barbarity of the state of Israel, to condemn Israel that has killed innocent civilians, over 32,000. The only thing that he can mention is the attack, which we all condemn, of Hamas on October the 7th. But the problem and the struggle of the Palestinians did not start on October the 7th. It started way before that. Now, to have a professor who is observing the same numbers to be putting and blaming Hamas for the killing, which again we all condemn, and mentioning this barbarity by the Israeli government in IDF of having killed 2,000 over 15,000, over 15,000 of those were women and children. And conveniently, just, you know, lay the blame on Hamas. So the question of proportionality is basic manners, basic human being behavior. You cannot be watching what we're currently watching in unfolding in Gaza and find a reason to justify it, find a reason to give a blank check to this barbaric regime of Israel to continue killing the people, innocent people, the aid workers that were killed. How do you justify that? Logistics were given to the Israeli Defense Force of the movement of the World Central Kitchen. But besides that, you have over 133 journalists, by the way, Clement, not 95. 133 journalists have been killed. And this event that occurred where the World Central Kitchen aid workers were killed, it's not the first one. There were hundreds of other aid workers. They happened not to come from Europe, but there are hundreds of other aid workers that have been killed in Gaza and in the West Bank, by the way. So this is a government, is a gangster government that doesn't care about the rule of law, that doesn't care about international conventions, that doesn't care about anything that's got to do with a decent human behavior. They'll do as they wish, just to prove a point that they can do it. And, you know, so far they've violated every single little law every single little resolution that was passed by international bodies such as United Nations Security Council and United Nations General Assembly, because they just simply don't care.
Mm.
So there's no professionality for them, and I don't think there'll be any limit that will prevent or stop them from continuing with this barbarity.
Yeah. Professor Thomas Hausen, is it your view that Israel has not violated any laws of war? And if you believe that they have, which are those?
Well, international law is not what we would wish it to be. It's not a big issue of morality. It is what state practice has constituted, and as we will see in the near future when the judgment of the International Court of Judgment comes out, Israel is not guilty of genocide, and there have been accidents, there have been misdirections of force, but we get that in any human activity. In South Africa, 15,000 people die every year in road accidents, and of course nobody wants that road accident to happen. We also have failures in systems. Eskom switches off the power every day, and of course they don't want to, but it happens. So Israel uses, unfortunately maybe, artificial intelligence to select targets. It's a system known as the Lavender system, and it is known to have a failure rate of about 10%. The system erroneously, wrongly targeted those vehicles according to profiling, just like our traffic police profile, and certain cars get pulled over and get checked and others don't. So these are problems of modern warfare. It is very difficult to establish a case that Israel has deliberately committed war crimes, such as, for instance, Germany in World War II. They issued a standing order that any female soldiers, any females in uniform, will be shot immediately. They also issued orders to simply kill prisoners of war in complete ignorance of the existing international law. In the case of Israel, I have not seen any evidence that would show that the Israeli government or its hierarchical commanders have issued orders and have carried out instructions that would constitute war crimes. We must not forget that the attacker is the one who doesn't benefit from the protection of international law. The attacked benefits from the protection of international law. The fact that there may be a long history of repression and of arguments about self-determination and whose territory it is, that doesn't entitle a liberation movement to commit what is defined in the Fourth Geneva Conventions as war crimes. And Hamas continues to commit war crimes. It's not as if we're talking about October 7th. We're talking about a thing that is perpetuated daily by firing missiles into civilian targets in Israel.
In the arguments that were made in the International Court of Justice, Prof, there was already, in fact, even in their judgment, that judgment spoke about senior leaders within the Israeli government that have been, and yes, you may not view that as a defense leader telling the soldiers go and shoot indiscriminately, but if you have been listening to the arguments that South Africa made in the court, the evidence they provided is of senior leaders in government in Israel who have made statements that suggest to anybody listening to them that there must be a wiping of the people in Gaza. Which is why the judgment in the ICJ spoke to the need for the Israeli government to take action against those leaders and try and prevent those leaders from making such utterances. Is that not something that counts?
Clement, there is no judgment. That has not fooled the listeners here. There have been arguments put before the court, and the court has approved some preliminary measures and has recently reaffirmed preliminary measures that certain things should not be done, like, for instance, a siege that would cut off all food, water, and essentials for life to that area of Gaza. But such a siege does not exist. So we don't have a judgment. We will get one.
You're right, in the preliminary measures. You're right. The judgment on genocide, I'm talking about the preliminary measures Right? That's what I'm referring to.
A preliminary measure is not a judgment. A preliminary measure...
All right, let's call it a preliminary measure. I'm saying in that preliminary measure, the justices there said, indicated... Hold on. Let me finish. I'll give you a chance. I'm saying in that preliminary measure, that spoke to the need for the Israeli government to take action against leaders who have made outrageous statements about the people of Gaza.
No, the court did not pronounce on that. On the contrary, the court said the first and preliminary duty is that Hamas must release the hostages because that is a war crime and it continues to be a war crime. Clement, if some person that doesn't like you goes to the High Court tomorrow and says Clement must be ordered through an interdict, an interim measure, not to rape little children, and he produces a false affidavit, the court will grant such an order, will say, this man must not rape little children. Whether he does it or not, the court hasn't decided. So we must be realistic about these things. Otherwise, we're just dreaming.
I want to bring
not what is going to happen in the real world.
I'm going to bring in Thembisa now in a moment. You spoke about Israel using artificial intelligence and how sometimes there's a failure rate. When you look at the death toll in Gaza now, 32,000 people are now dead from the authorities in Gaza and what the health ministry is saying. What is the failure rate there? Because Israel says we're going after Hamas. Are all the 32,000 people who have been killed in Gaza members of Hamas? Professor Thomas Hauser?
Yeah. It was a question to me.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we don't know the count. Who can say? Israel says about 12,000 of those were Hamas combatants. But there is no audit. There's nobody that can verify even the total figure. I can mention that yesterday, one of the most respected newspapers in the world, Le Monde in Paris, and a full page detailing that 10 million people were murdered in the DRC in the ongoing civil war there. We also know that about 4 million people lost their lives in Sudan due to starvation, and so forth and so forth. We have dramatic loss of life in the last 20 years in many hotspots of this world, and it is most regrettable for each and every life that is lost. But what Israel is entitled to do is to defend itself against a continuing attack. Once that can be resolved in negotiations, and there are many efforts which are on the way, even today as we speak, to finally find a way, a basis for a cessation of the use of force, and that will happen. And then hopefully this horrible experience in Gaza and in Israel can lead to a more rational approach to the conflict in that region.
I must say it's interesting that you believe what Israel tells you about the number of people it's killed who belonged to Hamas, but you choose not to believe what Gaza health authorities are telling you about the number of people that have died. So you say you can't confirm that, but it is factual for you to say, well, Israel says 12,000 of those were Hamas. Thembisa Fakude, let me just get you to respond to some of the points the prof has made, and then we continue with the chat.
Well, first of all, for me, it's extremely disappointing that we import such skill to come and teach our children about international relations.
Oh, sorry, I'm losing you, Thembisa.
Civilians.
Please start the point again. You said it's disappointing that we lost you there a little bit.
I'm saying it's disappointing that we import such skill to come and teach our children international relations. Here is a man who ignores the fact that 32...
Said it's disappointing that we lost you there a little bit.
I'm saying it's disappointing that we import such skill to come and teach our children international relations. Here is a man who ignores the fact that 32...
What should be the approach? And is it even the approach of the United Nations that you look at? Or do you then consider that you go to the various international courts that can intervene? Here's some of your voice notes.
Are the voice notes not playing as well? Okay, let's take a quick ad break while we sort that out. It's 27 minutes after 11.
The Dialogue with Clement Manyatela.
It's not just another roundtable discussion.
Let's walk the talk on 702.
It's 11:32. We continue with our conversation this morning about the rules of war. Let's start with the WhatsApp voice notes.
Good morning, Clement. You know, often people struggle with the with understanding the meaning of the word gaslighting. I think if you look at the situation in Gaza at the moment, and President Biden's claim to be heartbroken over the deaths of those workers, while at the same time his administration is sending arms to the region, I mean, that is a classic example of gaslighting, really. Who is fooling who? Cheers, King here.
Morning, Clem. Happy Thursday. Great show, always. Tato here. You know, it's upsetting that aid workers were bombed and killed. But what's even more upsetting, Clem, is because there's an Australian national that was killed in this bombing, all of a sudden Australia has a voice and an opinion. Ditto England and the US and probably Canada. Poland will probably do the same. But when it's Palestinians being bombed and killed every single day, the silence is so loud. It's actually upsetting.
Yeah, so I wanted to, do a fact check. Professor Andre Thomas Hosen said there was no preliminary order that said action must be taken to prevent people from inciting the genocide. So I went quickly to look back at the judgment. So on the incitement to genocide, that was the third order of the ICJ. The third order of the ICJ said Israel has to prevent and punish incitement to genocide. Article 3C of the Genocide Convention says that direct and public incitement to commit genocide is a punishable act. So it's crucial that Israel complies with this provisional measure. So that was a third order in those preliminary measures coming out of the International Criminal Court. And maybe that's what Professor Thomas Hosen missed there. But I just thought I should let you know that I've gone and checked those preliminary measures, and that's the third order. You can go check it out yourself. I'll also tweet it. We've got Thembisa Fakuda back on the line. Thembisa, we were failing there with the lines earlier. We've got you back on. Please, can you just at the point you were making, your response to the prof?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The line is very, very bad, and it's certainly not on my side. So there must have been other part intervention. Mm. But anyway, just to repeat what I've said, I was saying that it's actually very disappointing and sad that we import skill to come and educate our kids about international relations, and this is what we get. This is a person who ignores the fact that over 30,000 civilians have been killed. Everyone has confirmed these numbers, even outside the Gaza health authorities. We have the numbers confirmed. What happened yesterday was pure barbarity. I mean, the day before, when the World Central Kitchen aid workers were killed, he refused to admit it was a crime. The continuing attack and killing of the Palestinians in the West Bank, outside Gaza, by these right-wing Israelis, en masse, they're killing people on a daily basis. Again, that is a crime, and it has to be condemned. Yes, we condemn what Hamas did on October the 7th. It was wrong, it was cruel, and it goes against the international law. But I think he might find himself, he can also condemn in the strongest of terms of what's happening at the moment in Gaza, like everybody else is doing. You can't justify it. Pictures don't lie. You have over 133 journalists that have been killed by the Israeli Defense Force. What does he have to say about that?
And it's not just pictures, Tembisa. The United Nations has done its preliminary reports. They have confirmed the number of people that have died. That's a multilateral international institution. The same European countries, France, the UK, the US, they quote the numbers of people that have died in Hamas, and they are allies of Israel. So anybody who wants to question that now, I mean, if you are questioning that now, and even allies of Israel are not, even organizations like the United Nations have confirmed those numbers, then I don't know what you're looking for. Now, there have been worldwide condemnation, Tembisa, particularly from countries of the victims. What impact does this condemnation have on the state of Israel?
Well, of course, now they'll take this serious because Europeans are impacted this time around. But we need to remember that there are hundreds of other aid workers, Palestinians, and other aid workers from developing world who are currently working in Gaza and the West Bank that have been killed by the Israeli Defense Force. The reason why this time around the report has been amplified is because Europeans are involved, and that's simply the reason why you have the world community, including the United States, condemning what's been or what has happened. In fact, the reason why you had Benjamin Netanyahu issuing that statement, which was not apologetic in any way or form, because he messed it up by saying this is war, it's simply because the Europeans are involved. But we must remember that there are a lot of other aid workers. Over 400 aid workers have been killed in Gaza by the Israeli Defense Force, besides the journalists that are also facing the wrath and barbarity of the Israeli Defense Force. So the reason why you have this amplified is because this time around European lives were involved.
Mm-hmm. So because the Geneva Convention says that targeting of civilians is a war crime, and it calls for the medical personnel, the aid workers, the ordinary people who have been caught in the conflict to be protected, does it then constitute a war crime if these targets, you know, were said to be unintentional? So is it sufficient for a country like Israel to say, well, that was intentional, we didn't plan to do that?
Well, it's not sufficient, but we'll have to wait and see in terms of independent investigation in this regard, whether they will come up with a position. But by all look of things, it was intentional. It's part and parcel of the practice of the Israelis of targeting aid workers, journalists, and others that are not part and parcel of this war. So we can't really even give them the benefit of a doubt, because this has been the trend, not only from not only after the 7th of October, but it's been a trend in Palestine since 1948. There have been this wanton killing of civilians, aid workers, journalists, and all others who are not part and parcel of the wars that's been going on in that part of the world. So this was deliberate, and there are now, Al Jazeera, for example, investigation unit did a report and investigated and came up with evidence suggesting that these were deliberate attacks by the Israeli Defense Force.
Tembisa, I'm going to stop you there.